Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 11th of January, recording at 9:13 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights. Asian stock markets were mixed. Still a bit further weakness in Japan and in Hong Kong, and I think also in China, judging from the setback in the additional setback in the H shares. European stock markets, however, were quite strong. Some very good gains. The top one I see was the French CAC index up 1.96, and the DAX just behind that. Stockholm actually up 2.38%. So these are strong moves, upward dynamics for most of the indices here. The FTSE was interesting because it was up a bit and then it moved down following an unexpected hike by the Bank of England, but then picked up again on Wall Street's heels. And Wall Street closed a little off the highs, but with some pretty good gains, up over 1%, with the NASDAQ leading the NASDAQ 100 index. That's certainly a breakout. And that's important because the NASDAQ does sometimes lead. So, after that, what else happened? We had softness, not surprisingly, in the government bond markets. And the dollar. Now, this was down a bit early in the day, but then rallied. And it sees really seesaw action in here, but rallied primarily against the European currencies, as I look. Well, I'm primarily against the euro and the Swiss franc, but on the dollar index, which is really heavily weighted. I think it's over 50% weighted by the euro. It is up. I think that's up to a new rally high for this move that started the week before last. It's currently at 85.31. And precious metals had been doing quite well, but weakened as the dollar rallied and also as the oil price plummeted. But the declines were pretty small where they actually occurred. But gold is currently up a little bit on the day. It'll at 611.82, but it had been up at 616.25, and silver had been up at 1262, but is currently 1240. So they gave up some pretty good gains. Also platinum, which had rallied to 1158, currently at 1146, giving up part of yesterday's quite good gains in that market. Grains and beans, however, all rallied in here today. They'd been under a bit of pressure recently, but the oil is by far the most dramatic move, and I've written about that at some length in copy that I haven't reported yet, or haven't posted yet, rather. And I'll comment on it in another moment, but oil is currently down $1.92 at 52.10, so that is a new reaction low in this move down from the July peak. Okay, so what about these global stock markets? Well, I have been talking about somewhat larger reactions and consolidations that we were in a process where these were occurring for most markets. And I think that's borne out on the charts, but I've also been emphasizing that these are not medium-term corrections, that this is not really bearish, and that markets have, part of the increase in volatility is due to the fact that markets have had to contend with some pretty bearish forecasts from some fairly eminent sources, and those have been covered here, so you know where most of them have been coming from. But my view, I think consistently, has been that we wouldn't see more than slightly larger reactions and consolidations than we had seen in the period, really from, oh, at least October through November. And that this remained, however, a seasonally bullish period. And I didn't see any alarm bells. The storm clouds that I've referred to from time to time remained pretty much on the distant horizon. The yield ones are coming a little bit closer, but that doesn't look too serious here at the moment. I think the oil situation, as I've mentioned previously, when oil was at considerably higher levels, mentioned that this decline, though, was good for the global economy, oil producers aside. It creates a tailwind for global GDP growth, which I do expect to pick up, and it's certainly helped the US economy in the soft landing that it has been experiencing. And I think it's particularly bullish for emerging economies because they're less efficient energy consumers. So that's very favorable. There are far more favorable factors. Valuations are not at any kind of outlandish extreme. And the reactions and consolidations that we've been seeing are pauses for breath. They help patterns to repair after short-term excesses on the upside. So I'm quite annoyed with myself for some rather silly tactics in having gone long, what was it, last week? Early last week, at the beginning of last week, having gone long the FTSE and DAX indices, and then I didn't following upside breakouts, and then I employed really quite tight trailing stops, not giving them enough breathing space at a time when volatility had been picking up, and had those stopped out. Clearly, I'd been spoiled by the strong gains that had occurred in the H shares and also in the Nikkei, which are ideal for tight trailing stops, but not this environment. So again, but more importantly, what's the outlook? I think it's still quite positive, and I think gains in Europe and the USA will spill over favorably into Asia tomorrow. And I think that business about I saw on the television programs this morning, early this morning, that they were saying that Asia had weakened, some of the Asian markets had weakened because of the weaker oil price. I think it's absolute nonsense. They're just looking for a label. The oil price is bullish for those markets, and I think it will be reflected. The ones that had become the most overextended, the Chinese indices, particularly the A shares, have seen an inevitable reaction. But I wouldn't be surprised to see some firmness tomorrow. Okay. And so expect more of the same. Bit more volatility, but more bullish than bearish in the primary uptrends where they exist, and they exist in most of the global stock markets, persist. Government bonds. Now, yields are edging higher, particularly in Europe and the UK. Now, at this stage, that's a tailwind for stock markets because we're getting that switching of funds out of the debt instruments into the stock markets. As an irrelevant aside, I'll be interested to see what Bill Gross says next in his next report, after being very bullish for government bonds and expecting 100 basis points off the federal funds rate this year. I just said at the time I couldn't see that happening, and I can't see it happening as the evidence accumulates daily. But if we get US 30-year treasuries, and you can find all of those charts, if we get the yields moving, 10-year, 30-year yields moving above last year's highs that we saw, I think it was in May, then that would switch from being a tailwind to a headwind Probably not too long thereafter. Headwind for stock for global stock markets. And you know my view. I remain that the global economy, I beg your pardon, that the global bond markets. Let me repeat that. I mean to maintain that global bond markets are in a very gradually unfolding secular bear market in which the reaction lows for yields will be rising. And the highs for yields will also be rising. But we're talking about rolling waves here that take a very long time, sometimes a year or two for each individual wave within the, and I'm not talking about Elliott waves, obviously, I'm just talking about the fluctuations in a chart pattern. You get these long, rangy phases and within the overall trend, particularly in the earlier stages. And what I'm also saying is that the next problem is not going to be enough economic growth, but too much economic growth. And that would lead to somewhat higher interest rates, creating another headwind for stock markets. But we don't have to worry about that today. And I think the UK's hike, although people weren't expecting it today, they were certainly expecting that quarter point hike at some point. And UK rates are only on a par with US rates at 5.25%. So this is not a big problem. If we get rates up at 6.5-7%, this could be a real problem. Or if rates are moving upwards too quickly, that could be a problem. I think it will add to volatility because the strength of stock markets will cause and the weakness of the oil price as well will embolden central banks to be more aggressive in their hawkish comments on inflation because they're very, very keen to prevent wage inflation from exploding. And while stock markets are strong and the oil price is weak, they know they can be more aggressive in doing that. Because there will be enough liquidity, there are enough animal spirits out there to keep the whole game going, keep economies reasonably firm in their period of GDP growth and expansion, and to keep stock markets buoyant. So that's the greater aggression in terms of their efforts to manage inflationary expectations, leading to more volatility. Okay, moving on swiftly. Now, this oil price move is really forcing me to reassess. I was too bullish here as far as oil is concerned because I thought we were getting a bottoming out, gradual bottoming out process of support building above that $55 level, with most of it taking place in the low $60 range. Now, that's got to be wrong here with the price of oil having dropped down to $50 a barrel. And I've written about this. I won't repeat it all. This audio will be too long. But I doubt that this is actually the end of the secular bull market for oil, let alone the secular bull markets for other resources. But that's what people are going to be expecting. So we can expect people to become more aggressive in terms of some of their downward forecasts for industrial metals, for instance. But let the chart be our guide on this. The oil chart is weak, so I'm definitely reassessing there, and I've written about ramifications, some of the ramifications of this move. But you'll be able to read about that at your leisure. Now, weak oil is a headwind for other industrial resources and precious metals. And the industrial metals there were quite strong today, although they closed off their highs. But they were all up, with the best gains occurring in nickel, which tested its all-time high, and zinc and tin. Those were the best of the gains in the industrial metals overall. Precious metals are as I say, still facing this bit of a headwind from the oil price. Although again, oil—they're all different. They all have to be evaluated differently. I'm talking about headwind in terms of sentiment here, but the gold story is essentially one of more people viewing it as a safe store of value, assuming, in other words, viewing gold as a currency. But the trouble with currencies that don't have any yield is that as the moment they start moving up, people start stepping out. And gold, as you know, has been ranging, saw that correction commencing in June against all the currencies simultaneously. And again, I've talked about those charts again and posted a few more of them, but I maintain that despite these headwinds, that gold is still in this gradual support building phase here. And it's also got a bit of a headwind from the US dollar, and that we are likely to see precious metals messing around for a while longer. But the next big move really ought to be upwards, driven by industrial demand, driven by jewelry demand, driven by investment demand. And grains and beans bounced off lows and off some prior support areas in some instances. I think this is another medium-term correction following their very, very strong earlier gains. And that's pretty much it. I don't want to run on too long. So, all the best to all of you.